Lord. You know, I thank God every year for Margaret's birthday because she's been my helpmeet, my best friend, other than Jesus. He's really my best friend, but she's my second best friend. And my lover and everything else, you know, she's been very faithful, and I don't know what I would do without her. Only God knows. And yeah, I'm junior honey to her. It's funny, all my nieces, they're 40-something years old that she used to watch. They still call me junior honey because she always called me that when they were little kids. And they still call me junior honey. But also, it's I don't know that I had anything to do with it, but we got married on her birthday. So it's our anniversary also Monday.
How many years is that?
That is 57 years. 57 years we've been married. And we went together 5 years before we got married. So we've been together for 62 years. That's right. And they've been great years. There's been up years and down years. But you know, that's the way it is with any relationship. But that's what makes it good. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I'm going to pause for a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the word here in a minute. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I ask you to just pour yourself out of me today and just let your spirit just minister to hearts. I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and life. I ask you to bless your people, and I ask you to give us all ears to hear what your spirit would say. And I ask you, Father, I'm going to ask you for a special gift, a gift of eyes that we might see what you're doing in the earth, and that we might come to understand it, and we might see the hand of God in everything. Just like the song says, "For I know that not but pleasure it will bring." And Father, I thank you, and I give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Let me get some glasses. Sometimes I can see better without them. Sometimes I can't. It's weird. Let's see. Yeah, that's a little bit better. Praise God. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to tell you a joke this morning or not. I might. Let's see. I got a few of them up here. Praise God. I didn't pick out a joke, so I'm just looking here for a second. Well, praise the Lord. Three pastors in the South were having lunch in a diner. One said, "You know, since summer started, I've been having trouble with bats in my loft and attic at the church. And I've tried everything, noise, spray, cats, nothing seems to scare them away." Another said, "Yeah, me too. I've got hundreds living in my belfry and in the narthex attic. I've even had the palace fumigated, and they won't go away." The third said, "I baptized all of mine and made them members of the church and haven't seen one of them back since." That's the way preachers feel sometimes. They baptized the bats. Okay. praise the Lord. Well, praise God. Okay. The title to my sermon today is Dothan, and it's two wells. Okay. And I'm going to start off reading to you. It says, and when the king of Syria warred against Israel, it was told him, saying, "Behold, Elisha is in Dothan." And what was happening was that every time that the king of Syria would make a decision to do something, Elisha would be praying and the Lord would tell him what he was going to do, what his enemy was going to do. And he was always one jump ahead of him. So the king of Syria, he kind of thought that maybe there was somebody cheating and telling Elisha what they were going to do. So he was getting pretty angry. And finally, somebody told him, he says, there's an old prophet in Israel named Elisha, and God tells him what's happening. And he said, well, and here, and I'll pick up from there, and this is what he said. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told them, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. And the name Dothan means two wells, okay? Therefore, they sent hither horses and chariots and great hosts, and they came by night, and they compassed the city round about. And when the servants of the man of God raised early and had gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servants said unto him, alas, this is Elijah's servant, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for there be more with us than there are with them. And I want you to know that in any situation, in any circumstance in your life, you and God make a majority. Amen. I don't care what it is. I don't care how bad it looks on the outside. You and God always make a majority. And and when the servant of the man of God had risen early and gone forth, behold, the host compassed the city, and both with horses and chariots, and his servants said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they are more with us than there are with them. And Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And you know, I love that song that we sing, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. And we need to pray every day, Lord, open the eyes of our heart that we may truly see what you're doing. Because I tell you what, we'll find out that no matter how bleak the situation looks on the surface, he's doing great things. He's always doing great things. And Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire. We've been talking about fire lately, but those chariots were fire chariots. I'm going to tell you what, you can't get around God too much without seeing some fire, because Scripture says our God is a consuming fire, okay? And it says, and as the young man's eyes were opened, the young man saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. And when they came down to him, Elijah prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. In other words, when they came down to attack him, Elisha prayed and said, Lord, smite them with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Your words have power, folks. Your words, if you're speaking the word of the Lord to something, it has power. You can take dominion over situations. You can speak, and God hears. But ask him to let you speak according to his word inside of you. Your word will fall to the ground sometimes. His word never falls to the ground. His word always performs that which he sent it forth to do. And said, and Elijah said unto them, this is not the way. And you know what? Sometimes you have to tell people the way they're going. This ain't the way. Let me show you the way. And he says, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elijah said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elijah, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Sounds like he wanted to smite them. He wanted to kill them. Now listen to this. This is what God does a lot of times when we think, oh God, get them. They're giving me a hard time. They're doing bad to me. Here's what happened here. And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Would you smite those if thou had taken them captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Here's what he told him to do. Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Wow. I tell you what, we know that water is a type of the word. Set the water of the word before them and set the bread before them. And we know who is the bread. Jesus is the bread of life. But instead of killing them, he was going to give them water and he was going to feed them. And he prepared great provisions for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. I'm going to tell you what, there's power in the water of the Word of God. There's power in the bread of God. And when you use the water of the Word and you use the bread of God, the enemy will go no more in your territory. And that's exactly what happened there. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself. This is Romans 12, 19 and 21. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. In other words, don't let your anger get you in trouble. Don't let your anger do something that would be displeasing to God. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. And if he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. Now, a lot of Christian people would tell you years ago, boy, God's going to pour down the coals of fire on that person's head, and boy, they're going to be sorry. That isn't what those coals of fire are all about. Praise God. But overcome evil. Don't overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. In Isaiah 6, 5, and 7, what it begins to say there, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And I'm going to tell you what, in this day and age, if we start seeing the Lord high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple, know you not, you're the temple. And his train is his glory. And I tell you what, he's about ready to let loose his glory in the temple. And his train filled the temple. And then they said, Woe is me. And this is what Isaiah said. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And as we pray for our eyes to be opened each day and we start seeing the King, the Lord of hosts, here's what I believe will begin to happen. Then flew one of the seraphim unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from off the tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thy iniquity is taken away, and thy sins are purged. Let me tell you what, when you begin to pray for them that despitefully use you, what you're really praying is, God, pour the altars off of the coal off of the altar and let it burn up the iniquity that's in their life and let them come to know you. And after that, what happened was Elisha, the Lord had said, who shall I send? And Isaiah started saying, send thou me, Lord, send thou me. And a lot of times when God begins to allow the coals off of the altar to touch your lips, he's going to begin to, the cry of your heart is going to begin to change, and it's going to be, send me, Lord, send me, Lord. And you know that when you're crying that, you're actually saying, Lord, you go with me. Because when you go with me, things are going to happen. Things are going to change. You know, one time years ago, I'd studied into the scripture. The Lord really drew my attention to this. In the year that King Uzziah died is when he saw this. And you know, in the Old Testament, Uzziah was a boy king. I looked up it and read about his history. He was a boy king. And it said, and he sought the counsel of the elders and his mother, or the priest and his mother. And it says, when he did that, he was marvelously helped. Marvelously helped. Listen to your mother. She loves you. Listen to her. She loves you about almost as much as God does. A lot of times mothers will impart love to you and they'll impart a lot of things to you. Dads give you a little bit of hard stuff once in a while, but you need that too. But I'm going to tell you what, as long as he sought that, it said that he was marvelously helped. Until, there's an until there. Until he became strong. And then when he became strong, he began to make weapons of war and he began to do all of these things, you know. And he actually took, in the Old Testament, a normal person couldn't go in and do the things that the priest did. You had to be anointed as a priest. And he tried to go in and do the office of a priest. And when he did, he was stricken with leprosy in his forehead. It was because God didn't tell him to do that. And, you know, I want you to know also that when it said that seraphim took that coal off of the altars and touched his lips, you know, I thought, well, gee, seraphim, boy, they must be some beautiful angelic being. You know, I mean, that's the way my mind was rolling, you know. And I studied into that. And I thought, okay, let's see what seraphim really means, you know. And Scripture says, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the Word of God. And when I looked up the word seraphim back there in Isaiah chapter 6, when I looked it up, what I saw it meant was fiery winged serpent. Fiery winged serpent. And it also said, though, he had six wings. Six is the number for man in Scripture. And six is the number for Satan in Scripture. But it said he had six wings. It says with twain, two of them, he did cover his face. And it says with two of them, he did cover his feet. And with two of them, he did fly. And what the Lord began to speak to my heart back then when I studied into that, he said, son, he said, six is the number for man. He says, so when you're seeing that fiery serpent back there, he said, when you can no longer see the face of the serpent and no longer see the walk of the serpent, then that thing in your life can begin to take coals off of the altar and touch other people's lives. But I tell you what, as long as you can see the face of the thing, and as long as you can see the walk of the thing, he's not going to allow you to take the coals off of the altar to cleanse everything that you come in contact with them. And I want you to know there's a lot about the fire of God in scriptures, and we've been talking about fire for a week or two here. And I just want you to know a lot of the scriptures is not what they look like on the surface. There's something entirely different if God opens them up. And there's some deep, deep truths. But I'm going to tell you what, our God is a consuming fire. He wants to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble in your life, the wood, the hay, and the stubble in my life. And there's coming a time when he's going to use you, because he says he makes his ministers a flame of fire. And I'm going to tell you what, like I told you all last week, what happens when you add fire to fire? Nothing. You just get more fire. And that's the way it is with God. As you become his ministers and you go out with the fire of God in your life, what he wants you to do is begin to speak the word and begin to give them the bread of life, and watch and see if his spirit don't begin to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble. You know, what's wood, hay, and stubble? What's that all about? That's corruptible things. That's things that if you took wood and you leave it laying around long enough, it'll rot away into nothing. You took hay, same thing. And you take the stubble of the ground, same thing. They're temporary. They're going to rot away. But he said only the precious will remain. And Scripture says every man's works will be tried as it were by fire. And we're all going to have the fire of God. Don't feel bad when the fire of God starts burning in your life. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. Because it's there to burn up the wood, the hay, and the stubble in your life. It's there to set you free, that you might really begin to minister with a power and an authority such as you've never had before. But I tell you what, that word Dothan, we've seen what happened here with Elijah. There's another place in Scripture where the word Dothan was mentioned. And that was when Jacob sent Joseph out to check on his brothers. And guess where they were? They were at Dothan. And when he came to check on them, they began to say, oh, here comes that dreamer. Here comes that dreamer. And the dream he had said that he saw the sun and the moon and the stars bowing down to him. And he saw all this stuff. And God had showed him this stuff. And let me tell you what, you don't always need to, every time God gives you something, to share it with your brothers and your sisters, unless God tells you to share it with your brothers and your sisters. Because a lot of times they'll be the very ones that'll throw you down into the pit. And that pit was one of the wells, because that was the place of two wells. They were at Dothan. That's where they were. But even when you get thrown into the pit by your brothers and your sisters, because you happen to share the revelation knowledge God had given you. And I tell you what, sometimes your brothers and your sisters will call you heretics. They'll say, oh man, that guy's lost it. Listen to the stuff he's saying. Just like they did Joseph. But you know what? God knew the purposes he had for Joseph. He knew what he'd called him to do. He knew what he was going to use him to do. And he was even going to use his brothers to bring it about, even though maybe Joseph shouldn't have told them all that stuff. Maybe God didn't tell him to tell them all that stuff. I don't know. But I tell you what, then one of the brothers came by, and we mentioned that in Sunday school. One of the brothers came by and said, wait a minute, let's sell him into slavery. Let's don't kill him. They were going to kill him. And you know what? When they sold him into slavery, then we know what happens. We know that he got sent to I can't think of the brother's name. He got sent to this brother's house and as a slave, and he did everything he was supposed to do, and he honored God. And after a while, he became sort of master over the house. He got to take care of everything in the house. Then what happens? The man's wife tries to get him to commit adultery with her, and he won't do it. He won't dishonor himself or God, or or that man's household. But she claims that he did. People are going to say some bad things about you. Scripture says, woe unto you when men say only say good things about you. Because you know what that means? It means you're a man pleaser. You don't need to be a man pleaser. You need to be a God pleaser. Then what happens? Then Potiphar was the guy's name. And what do they do? Potiphar and them send him off to prison. He goes to prison. He's in prison. Still, he knows the vision God's given him. But it looks like it's going in every the wrong direction. And what happens? Why he's in prison? The jailer trusts him so much, he lets him carry the keys around. Think about that. He could have let everybody loose if he wanted to. He had the keys. But you know what? There was two guys in the jail. A baker and a butcher and a baker, I think it was, yeah. And they tell him about dreams that they had. And he began to interpret the dreams. And he told the one that he gave a good interpretation to, he says, when you come back into your situation, your good situation, he said, remember me. Well, the guy went back and he was there. And I believe it was years later, long time later. Don't think always just because you do something that you know the Lord told you to do and it was a good thing that everything's going to just jump right into position, because it don't do that. Years later, Pharaoh has a dream. He calls for all of the seers and all the people that he had that had wisdom and was supposed to be able to tell him the dream, and they couldn't tell him. And all of a sudden, I think it might have been the cupbearer. I don't know if it was the baker or the cupbearer. I don't remember. But they told him, they said, when I was in prison back years ago, there was a guy in there that told me everything that was going to happen with me. And it did, just like he said. They said, well, call him up here, you know. And what does he do? He gives him interpretation of that. Dream of the seven lean years, seven full years, and all that kind of stuff. And what's Pharaoh do? He puts him over all of the provisions in Egypt. So he's ruling and reigning, buddy. He's in a high position. But what happens? There becomes a famine in the land, up in his father's land. And he sends some of his sons down there to get grain. They go down and they get grain. And guess who they got to talk to? Joseph. But guess what? They didn't know it was Joseph. Because he had grown up. He had been a young boy when all this originally happened to him. Now he was a full-grown man. And he was dressed like an Egyptian. And let me tell you what. Sometimes God will send people into your life that you don't recognize them. But they recognize you. Because they sense that presence of God in you. And he ended up giving them grain and so on and so forth. Then they went up there and went home. And he talked to them about his father, but they didn't know it was him. And he found out he had another brother. And he made them, to get grain again, when they needed grain again, he made them bring that brother down. And that brother's name was Benjamin. And Benjamin means son of the right hand. Great name. And he was born of his mother, you know, Benjamin was. Same mother, he had same mother. And all those other guys had different mothers, most of them. And anyway, so what happens there when he brings Benjamin down? He sets them all down and feeds them. And what's he do? He has them put food in front of them. And then he gets to Benjamin, and Benjamin's only a boy, you know. Although some boys seem like they got hollow legs and stuff, and they can eat a lot. But they gave Benjamin five times more food than all the other people. Five times. Now, why did that happen? Why did he give them five? Five is the number for grace. Five is the number for ministry. Five is number for the hand. Five fingers on each hand, you know. And he gave him five times more than the rest of them. And they get ready to go back home. And Joseph tells his servants, hide my silver cup. Why was the cup silver? Silver is a thing for redemption. Our money used to say silver certificates on it. You used to be able to take your dollar down to the bank and get silver if you wanted it. They had to give you silver. It was a silver certificate. They took that off of there because they don't want to give you no silver no more. Your money ain't worth hardly anything nowadays. But anyway, silver talks about redemption. And, you know, even when the dollar, paper dollar won't work, the silver will, you know, and the gold will. But anyhow, so they hide Joseph's cup in Benjamin's sack. And they give him all this grain and stuff, and they're going up the road. And then he sends his servants to go up there and say, somebody stole my cup. And they go up there and they go through the sack of each one of them. Here, what do they find? They find the sack in Benjamin's, the cup in Benjamin's sack. Well, he brings them all back, and they make him go home and bring her father down. And when they bring the father down, he gets them all back there when he's getting on them over the cup. And I'm paraphrasing this, and he gets them over the cup, and he's talking to him about somebody taking his cup and so on and so forth. And they start talking among themselves, and he can hear them because he's right there in front of him. And they start saying, do you think maybe God's requiring our brother's blood at our hands? Joseph, they're talking about. And a lot of people wonder, well, how was Joseph able to be so merciful to them? I think Joseph heard them talking. And he realized that even though he had been partially in torment all of those years, but God had blessed him and kept elevating and elevating, he realized that all of those years, his brothers had had all that guilt because of what they had done to him. And he finally decides to make himself known to them. And when he makes himself known to them, he tells them, you meant this for evil, what you did to me, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good. And you know, up in the New Testament, there was a time when a couple of Jesus' disciples came and brought their mother along with them. And why is it sometimes that when we're really trying to get some results, we bring mommy with us? Because moms have a way of persuading things and getting it done. But anyway, they go before Jesus. And they said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, can one of us sit on your right hand and one sit on your left hand? And he said, that's really not mine to give, but it's for whom the Father has preordained it, you know. And he also said to him, can you drink of the cup that I drink of? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? And they said, yes, we can. He said, indeed you shall. It was the cup of the wrath of God, you know, what Jesus drank of, you know. And you know what? That Benjamin back there meant son of the right hand. So God was even showing through that story of Joseph and Benjamin and them back there, he was showing what was going to take place when those disciples came before him and said, can we sit on your right hand and on your left hand? And I tell you what, we're, spiritually speaking, of the tribe of Benjamin. We're sons of the right hand. And Scripture says, at thy right hand are pleasures evermore. And I got news for you. If you're somebody's right-hand man, that means that you have authority, you have power, You do whatever the person that's over you tells you to do. You're his right-hand man. When you speak, it's him speaking. When you do something, it's him doing it. And I tell you what, that's what God is trying to bring us up to, a place of growing up where we can do only that which we see our Father do, to speak only that which we hear our Father speak. And, you know, he wants us to rule and to reign with him. He said, Father, when Jesus prayed his high priestly prayer before he was crucified, he said, Father, the glory that you've given to me, I've given it to them. That's you. Hello, them. He said, now glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world was. And the glory that he had with the Father before the world was, he was the Father. He had all authority. He had all power. And you say, well, Oscar, why you say that? Don't you know that there's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Yes, I do know that, but it's all one God. It's three aspects of God's personality. And I tell you what, there came a time to when some of the disciples came to him, and one of them said, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient. And he said, have I been with you so long, and you never knew me? Don't you know that the works that I do, when you see them, you've seen the Father? When you've seen me, he said, you've seen the Father. And that's what oneness is all about, and he wants us to be one. And we come into the full oneness of realizing our true identity in Christ, then we're going to find that we have the same authority that he had. But there won't be any variation in who and what we do. When we speak, it will be him speaking. When we move, it will be him moving. Praise God. But I want you to know, folks, there's this place, Dothan, there's always two wells there. The one well is a well of life. The other well is a well of tribulation. But whichever way he takes you, it doesn't make any difference. The end results will be you'll come into ruling and reigning with him. Just like, you know, the situation with Elijah, that's where he was. He was at Dothan. But he had the ability, through the presence of God, he had the vision to be able to open the eyes of his servant. And when he opened the eyes of his servant, the servant said, oh my God, look at him. We do have more with us than they have with them, you know. And I want you to know there's always more with you. But even if God takes you the way of the other position, of like with Joseph, and Joseph's name has the meaning, he is giving increase. He's the vine that goes over the wall. And I got news for you. Jesus said, I'm the vine and you're the what? What goes over the wall? The branches. And I got news for you. It needs to go over the wall into all mankind. And they need to come to the realization of what God has done, what Jesus did on Calvary, how that he paid for the sins of the whole world to set mankind free. And a lot of people say, oh, it's just so that he can destroy it. No. What he's going to destroy is all the wood, the hay, and the stubble, and all of the things that are not of him. He's going to destroy them. He's going to burn them up with unquenchable fire. But I tell you what, just like it says in I believe in Corinthians, where it says, maybe it's in Romans, I can't think of it right now, but anyway, where he says that every man's works will be tried as it were by fire. The wood, the hay, and the stubble will be burned up, and only the precious will remain. It says, but if your stuff is burned up, it says you'll suffer loss, but you'll be saved. Think about that one. There's going to be some people that are going to suffer loss, but it says they'll be saved. Yes. Praise God. That's all I had to speak with you. Stand up and we'll close in a word of prayer. Father, please give everyone that hears this sermon ears to hear it and an understanding heart, that they can realize that you're not a mean old God sitting up in heaven just ready to zap everybody with a big lightning bolt or whatever. That you sent your Son as the love of God, that you God so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You didn't send him into the world to condemn the world, but that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Help us to begin to realize what you really want us to do. You want us to tell people that they have been forgiven, that they can be set free, that he paid the price. You know, you gave me a words to a song one time, and he paid it all so that we might live. He paid it all. What more could he give? The greatest gift that man has known when he ascended from God's throne, he paid it all so that you might live. And this life is yours today if you'll trust him and obey. He paid it all so that you might live. He paid it all so that you might live. Praise God. Father, just bless your people as they go forth. Let this word just spin around in their hearts and let them come to the realization of it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful day. If anybody wants prayer, we'll be glad to pray with you. Praise God.